Well, we're going to be talking about the Word of God and its importance in our life. Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan, did a great job introducing my sermon last week. And he basically talked about its importance for us, encouraged you to be reading it. There's a table that talks about here's plans that you can have to read throughout the Bible this year. And I encourage you to take advantage of the materials that is there and available for you. So today we're going to talk about how to stay on course. How do we stay on course throughout the course of our year, throughout the course of our life, with what's most important? How do we not get distracted? How do we come back to our focus and what's important? I believe the Word of God gives us direction. In fact, I'm so thankful that God has revealed Himself to us in His Word. And that's what we've been singing about, and that's what we have to preach about. Let's open with prayer as we begin today. Father, thank You for Your Word. May the clarity of Your Word go forth today. I pray that Your Holy Spirit might move in our midst, and I pray where changes need to be made, that You would do the work in our hearts and that we would do the hard work of changing and growing and be more like Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to be looking in particular at verses 16 and 17, but we're going to read a few more verses and tied in with that. They're going to be on the screen here just momentarily, but I encourage you to find it still in your Bibles and to underline especially verses 16 and 17, because I'm so thankful. I learned these verses a long time ago, and they've been very beneficial to remind me of the importance of God's Word. What I'd like for us to do is read it together, whether it's from your Bible, the ESV, or from the screen there before us. But let's read the text before us together. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Word of God is necessary for your spiritual growth. Let me repeat that. The Word of God is necessary for your spiritual growth. It will be a benefit to you. You will be a mess without it. God wants us to grow up, and He wants to use His Word as an equipping for how you can live or to live the Christian life. And so we're going to be considering some important matters this morning. The first one is the need for the Bible. The need for the Bible. As you read in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, especially the first five verses, you realize how much we need it, and especially as we come into these last days. It gives some characteristic of last days, and I think the next slide gives some little synopsis of what is being talked about in this passage. These are characteristics of the last days. People are going to be, and it lists a whole host of things, and I think we're seeing more and more of these characteristics as time goes on. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, ungrateful, unholy, and on the list goes. And when you see this list, you realize we are in trouble without God's help. We are in trouble without God's Word to give us direction and clarity in the midst of all this craziness and instability. We need truth to bring us back to a center point to give stability and civility when all the craziness is happening around us. It gives objectivity in the midst of a world that wants us to do whatever goes, whatever feels right to go with that. The Word of God is needed in all of our lives. How can we stay the course when times are so bad? How can a Christian survive and thrive in an evil age? Because of the Word of God. We need it desperately in our lives. I like what he mentions in verse 15. Paul is reminding Timothy, this pastor, he's saying, you know what, stay by the stuff in the midst of all that's going on around you. Remember how you came to know Christ. Remember how you were taught the Word of God from the time you were a child. Your grandmother and your mother told you the Word of God, taught you the Word of God. Keep at it. The truth is so important. In fact, then he goes on and reminds them that, notice in verse 15 as well, it says, the Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. And so the Word of God is essential for us to know how to put our trust and faith in Christ, but then beyond that, how to live our Christian walk. You and I need the Word of God to give us direction. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to fill our minds with it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate on it. We need to be controlled by it. And I believe it's important, just as a side note as well, he's reminding Timothy, you learned it from the time that you were a child. Parents, we must not minimize this in the passing on. It's great to teach our kids how to be civil in our society, how to be thankful, how to be respectful of authority, but we need to teach them the Word of God. We must not pass over that responsibility. And so let's move on to the second point. There is a definite need for the Word of God. We could spend a lot more time in that. But second, the special nature of the Bible. The special nature. As we come to verse 16, it really spells it out for us right in the beginning. 16a, all Scripture is breathed out by God. The NIV says all Scripture is God-breathed. The NASB says all Scripture is inspired by God. Or the King James says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All those are basically saying that God is the source of His Word. This is not just where a man sits down and comes up and says, I think I'll write something nice about being kind to one another or loving to one another. No, God has revealed Himself to us. God has revealed how we are to live and what is right, what is the path, what is the course of action that we must live, and it's given in the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Scripture is God-breathed. It's the very words that God intends us to know. Well, how did this process work? I love the definition by Charles Ryrie. I learned it many years ago, but I have it on the screen before it. I have in my text before me, just so that I don't mess it up. But inspiration, what exactly does that mean? How did this happen, this process of giving us the Word of God? Well, I love his definition. It says this, God's superintendence of the human authors, so that using their own individual personalities, they composed and recorded without error his revelation to man in the words of the original autographs. When you look at the different authors and their writings in the Word of God, you find that they are expressing their personalities through those writings. And yet, God superintended, oversaw the situation in such a way that it was without error, and it's what exactly He wants us to know. And so we have confidence as we approach the Word of God. It's reliable. It is verbally, primarily inspired. Basically, the words are inspired, not just the concepts. And all of them are inspired. God's Word, it's of divine origin, not just the good thoughts of man. That is extremely important that we understand that. And it's all the more reason why we need to be in it. Someone, as I was reading this week, mentioned that, do you realize this is the only book that whenever we read it, we have the divine author with us when we read it? Any book that you have, that you don't have that luxury to have the author right there. But we have the author of this book with us whenever we read it. And His Holy Spirit can give us guidance as we have the right approach to it and be changed by it. Well, let's move on to the third point that is extremely important. And really, I want to kind of zero in especially on this, the value of the Bible. The value of the Bible. Since all Scripture is God-breathed, being the product of an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, and loving God, the Apostle Paul goes on to state that the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, are profitable, are of value, are beneficial for our growth. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that Leviticus has a purpose and a meaning for your life? You may question that. But it's not just the favorite portions, not just the Gospels, not just the book of Ephesians or Philippians, but all the Word of God has importance for our life. It's all inspired, and it has value for our life. Profitable means beneficial, useful, helpful for our growth. As milk nourishes a baby physically, God's Word nourishes us spiritually. And it's profitable, and I'll just have this next slide, kind of the overview for your notes. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Now let's break it down, and we'll go to the first point next. It's profitable for teaching. Some versions of the Bible say, some that you may have before you, it says doctrine. We should never be intimidated or turned off by the word doctrine. Doctrine basically means teaching. Don't be scared of that word. It shows us what is right. God's Word is the source of truth. It answers questions like this: who are we? Why are we here? Is there a God, and what is He like? How can we know Him? Why is there death and suffering? And what happens after death? The Word of God answers all of those questions, and it gives us direction in our life. It basically tells us what is right. It tells us the right path to go on so that we know when we're on the path or not. We must know the truth. It also deals with issues that are very practical for us: how to manage our money, how to conduct business, how to get along with others. The Word of God is our operator's manual. As I give out premarriage counseling, I enjoy that very much. I basically say, in this premarriage counseling, we're not going to go to a whole bunch of other things. We're going to come to the Word of God. It is going to be our manual for moving forward, because it's foundational to our marriage. It's foundational to our lives. It shows us the path. It's profitable for teaching. And I think the side note to that, it means we need to study it. If it teaches us things that are important, we need to study it. Second, it's profitable for reproof. We may not like this, but the reality is it's important for this purpose. We need to be willing to be told when we're wrong. Now, this is not something that a prosperity gospel preacher would say. They always want to tell you nice things and good things and uplifting things, but the Word of God has some things that we may not want to hear but need to hear, and that is what reproof is all about. It shows us what is not right. It points out, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, our wrongdoings. It exposes, it convicts us of sin. It tells us of our failures. It tells us when and where we are sinning. It's like an umpire who cries out, "Out of bounds!" A lot of you are watching football these days. If you're not, poor you. Okay, you're really missing out. But my wife absolutely hates it, so I have to go in the other room, or I stay in the main room and take care of Jason so she goes out and enjoys herself, all right? But she doesn't enjoy football. But you know what? Football has so many good lessons. And in some of these games that we've been watching, it's just a matter of 1 inch or 1 foot out of bounds, but it makes a huge difference in the outcome of the game. Reproof is like that. It's like the umpire saying, "Out of bounds! No, you've crossed, you've gone off the path." Sometimes after I've preached, I'll have someone come up to me and say, "Pastor, how did you know I've been dealing with that problem?" And I say, I swear, nobody called me. Your family members didn't tell me. I didn't get an email saying all the little things about your life. God didn't reveal it and say, "Ding, okay, here, this is what's wrong about that person." And so then I prepare my message. No, That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Word, taking the Word and applying it to our hearts. It's a convicting Word. And that's what is so beneficial for us from the Word of God. We need to know when we're out of bounds. Number three. Boy, you're being awful quiet right now. Like, that one was not fun, right? All right? But number three, profitable for correction. I'm glad that the Word of God doesn't just leave us there and tell us, you are wrong. You're a sinner. You have done things that are displeasing to God, you wretched monster. And leave us there. No, it helps. It gives us direction on how to get out of the rut we're in and how to deal with our sin and how to deal with repentance and how to get right, how to correct our behavior. It tells us how to get right. It tells us how to get back on the right path. In secular Greek, it was used of setting upright an object that had fallen down. It was also used of repairing a broken arm, in other words, making it straight again. So it's the idea of bringing back from error, restoring the fallen sinner to a right position with God. Well, fourth, it's profitable for training in righteousness, how to stay right. It tells us how to stay on the right path. I think this is talking about providing instruction systematically. Growth is a process. It's something that we develop over time. It's not just given in one dose and then we don't need it any longer. It's systematically. It's a training that needs to happen on and on. The same word here of training in righteousness is used in Ephesians 6, verse 4, where we're told as parents to bring up our children, to train them up in the instruction of the Lord. It involves discipline. It involves training and instruction. It tells us how to stay on the right path. So, by way of review, God's Word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for training in righteousness. And I think I came across this diagram, and I think it's fantastic. For those of you that are visual learners, it may help. It's the idea of you're going along the path. It helps us to know the path. It helps us to know when we're off the path, how to get back on the path, and then how to stay on the path. A great diagram that helps us to understand the importance of the Word of God. Some of you maybe have gone off the path this last week with all the black ice or in the snow that was happening. Lots of accidents. And so it's a visual representation. It's a one that we understand and are aware of. But we need to be on the path. We need to stay going the right course along for the Lord Jesus and growing and developing. So then we come to the last one. The last point in our outline this morning is the purpose of the Word of God. What is the purpose of God's Word? It's told for us in verse 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, in order that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, may be mature, may be adequate, may be full grown, may be capable or proficient in dealing with life, equipped for every good work. Scripture is given to enable any person of God to meet the demands that God places on that person. It equips us to do what is right, to do good works. D.L. Moody had a great statement. He said this, and I encourage you to jot it down. The Scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. It's not enough for us to just be fat with information. The Pharisees were very good at that in their day. And Jesus kept saying to them, you whitewashed sepulchers. You are off course here. Your hearts are far from me. The Scriptures were given to change our lives. Also, Howard Hendricks is one of my favorite teachers from Dallas. He passed away not long ago, I believe, last year. And he made these two statements. The Bible was written not to satisfy our curiosity, but to help you conform to Christ's image. He also said, the goal is not to make you a smarter sinner, but to make you more like the Savior. Those are great statements about his desire for us to grow up and to change and not just remain the same. But God uses his word to equip us to do what he wants us to do. There's a couple practical illustrations that I want to bring before you. The next slide kind of shows that. If you have someone come and do a job for you by way of painting, you expect them to bring their tools with them. If they show up at your door to paint your house with no ladders and no equipment, you'd say, you're not equipped for the job. If you go to do a task of repair around your house, you have to take some tools with you. And some of you are handymen, but you don't just go up to that job and look at it and say, and just kind of run your hand over it or pray over it. That won't work. You have to take the tools. You have to be equipped to do the job. I'm going to give you a personal illustration. When we went to Yosemite National Forest a couple years back, 2010, I went with family and just loved every minute of it. But we had a task before us to go out into the wilderness of Yosemite National Forest. In fact, we actually got to the national park and we drove about 2.5 hours in the park before we started our hike. It's an unbelievably big place. And so we had to know a lot about the terrain and about the equipment, about what we were to wear. And when we got there and to the location, and Chelsea, my daughter-in-law, saw what I had brought with me and extra clothing, she took all that stuff and said, you're leaving that here. You're leaving that here. So I only had two outfits that I was going to be wearing for 6 days. And I was thinking, boy, that's going to be really smelly. Well, we were all smelly, so it didn't matter, all right? But we had to be properly equipped. And so some of the next slides that I'd like to show for you are just kind of a process of that being equipped. I mean, we had about 70 to 80 pounds that we were all carrying with us. But we had equipment that we needed to do the task because we had to be ready for a lot of different situations. We had the lamps on our forehead, and we had the packs on our back, and we encountered all kinds of things. Do you know what those cans are? Food's in there. Those are bear cans. And you wanted all your food to be stored not near you, not just kind of laying out in the, you know, Doritos packages laying in your tent. No, you wanted those to be away in bear cans sealed up so that you would not encourage bears to come along. And because they're all, and we did see one that was about 30 feet from us at one time, and a rattlesnake along the path as well. But we had to, you know, get water all along the way. So we had to have purifying ways to purify that. We had to have things to start the fires. We were trekking on in snow. We had to be prepared for that. We slept in snow, which again, at some higher elevations, it was very, very cold. We had, and here again, the warmth issue, just down a matter of a couple thousand feet, very different areas, but we had to be prepared for whatever we encountered. A little frost one morning on the glasses, in our sleeping bags, wading across water. Again, you had to have the right equipment. This was the site where we absolutely hated that site because the mosquitoes were so bad. And that's what we were wearing, the mosquito nets over our heads. Just absolutely miserable. We had to be prepared for danger. Any of you have ever gone up Half Dome? I don't know how in the world I ever did it, but I'm so glad I said I did it and I'd never do it again. But we had to wear the right shoes. We had to be prepared for what was going on. It just scared me to death at times where we went. But it was amazing and it was fun to be able to do that. But we had to be properly prepared and ready for danger. We caught our own meal and ate along the way. This was the last day as we're ready to trek out when we realized that we had to wade through waist-high water and it was freezing cold as we walked through that water the last little leg of the way. But we had to be equipped for that trip. And God's Word equips us for whatever we face. God's Word equips us for all of life's situation. There is so much parallel that I could bring out with the trip that we made in Yosemite, and you can make that application to your own life, but God's Word gives us the tools that we need to face life during the good times and the bad, when you need to know how to deal with your mate and your children and family challenges. when you are dealing with temptation, when you don't know what to do, in dealing with people problems, for ministry in every situation, God's Word gives us what we need to live. So to recap, the need is all of us need the Word of God. You never graduate from the school of learning God's Word. Second, the nature. We stand confident in the reliability of the Word. The value, third, in relation to the path. It's so beneficial to stay on the path, to show us when we've gone off the path, to get us back on the path, and to stay on the path. And the purpose is to equip us to live right. God's Word gives us the information and the tools we need to live a life pleasing to God. Maybe you have said this morning to yourself or to others, I wish that my life were more effective for Jesus Christ. If so, what are you doing about your intake of God's Word? Are you being an active listener every week during the worship services, during the family Bible hours, or the life groups, during the Sunday school time? Are you being an active listener and learner? Are you studying on your own? Are you eager to hear what God's Word says? Are you reading it? Are you studying it? And are you applying it? It is my prayer that each of you this morning who are here under the hearing of my message, that you would mature in Christ through a regular dose of God's Word. We need it desperately for our lives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us direction. We're not left on our own to fend for ourselves, but you've given us clarity in the midst of the confusion. Now may we put it into practice. We know what your Word says. Now may we do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.